I'm Connor.
I'm Garrett.
And this is Around the Coffee Table.
We are back. Episode 3. Connor is back with us. We had a little hiatus. Connor was...
It's all Garrett's fault.
It's all my fault. That's what Connor said.
It's all Garrett's fault.
As you can hear, Connor is remote. He's in the hub.
I'm in the burg.
The burg. Hattiesburg.
Yes, I'm in the burg.
And I have actually started a new job and have moved away from our hometown, so we might be remote for the time being until we can.
But there is a tie that still bonds us.
And that is the blood of Christ.
So,
blessed be the tie that bind.
But hey, even though we're remote, I still have my cup of Joe.
Oh, me too. Connor, what kind do you have today?
I'm a bold and intense by community.
You are a huge community fan.
It is muy delicioso.
I have the... When you live by yourself, you just have a Keurig. That's what I told him. And so I just have the Keurig coffee today, which is going to be great.
It's just slightly artificial.
Just the donut shop. anyways, so today... I'm fired up about our hero of faith and what we're talking about, because they kind of go hand in hand, yeah. Especially with one of the books that this man has written. But today we're going to talk about A.W. Tozer. Connor, initial thoughts on Tozer?
Tozer was writes some great, great literature. Again, but it's not the Word of God, but Tozer is – he's got some good stuff. Very, very
– Right.
Very outspoken, very challenging, I'll say, Tozer's writings are.
Right, and I would think that, I mean, I read somewhere where, like, he's referred to as, like, a minor prophet. And
right, yeah.
I would agree. and when you look at his life, you know, you hear Tozer and you might think all of these awesome things that he's done. In which he did. He wrote great books. He preached great sermons. But as far as like missions and things of that, when you think of heroes of faith, that really wasn't Tozer.
Nope.
So Tozer was born in Pennsylvania, and his salvation story was really, really cool. He was in Akron, Ohio, and he was walking home, and he heard a street preacher say, here's the quote here, "If you don't know how to be saved, just call on God." Simplicity saved one of the most influential men of the last century. And so when he got home, it says that he climbed into his attic, and that's exactly what he did. He prayed and he called on God, which that is the epitome of his ministry and who he was as a person, which was
right.
Crawling into an attic and just calling on the name of the Lord. And I guarantee you he was not there just for like 25 minutes as long as this episode.
Absolutely not. I just envision him up there. Like, he goes up there in the afternoon. He's there till like 8 o'clock and then he's got to go down to eat.
Yeah, he might not have even eaten. Like, he was like, hey.
He may not have eaten.
I'm just going to.
Like that type of person.
For sure. But Tozer had three main focuses of his ministry. One was obviously prayer. Tozer was obsessed with the presence of God. Obsessed. Like, so much so, like, what did his wife, she's quoted as saying after, like, Tozer loved the presence of God.
Yeah, loved the presence more than me or something like that.
Something, essentially that's what she was saying. She's like, Tozer, like, liked us, but loved the presence of God. Which also is kind of these flaws that we might see within these heroes, these theologians, is that a lot of them maybe weren't great family men. Just because of how obsessed they were with the Lord. And I think that's something that we can relate back to. You know, our last episode, we talked about a call to ministry. And if you're called to that, like, love your family well.
Right.
This is one lesson that we can learn from their lives. Yeah, you might not write the great books that they've written. You might not do the things that they did. But I think the Lord honors you loving your family well. He dedicated his life to prayer, to study, and to proclamation, which basically in the United States, which he just surrendered his life to preach the gospel. And this is what is outstanding or so fascinating to me, is that Tozer wrote The Pursuit of God, which is probably his most famous book, on an overnight train. I struggle writing discussion boards in a week.
Oh, gosh.
And he wrote The Pursuit of God on an overnight train. Connor.
Wow.
I cannot imagine sitting on the train writing that book. But Tozer ministered until he died. And this is the coolest thing. He died in May of 1963. And on his tombstone, what does it read, Connor?
A man of God.
A man of God.
Wow.
I want that to read on mine. Just a man of God. Mog. I have a mog here.
Not even like in loving memory, just a man of God.
A man of God. Wow. A.W. Tozer, if you haven't read The Pursuit of God, you haven't read Discipleship, you haven't read anything like that, check him out. Connor, you recommend his worship book, yeah?
Yes, I do recommend his worship book.
How many times have you read it?
This third, I'm done now.
Are you done with it, or will you pick it back up?
Yeah, I'm done with it.
You're done?
Yeah.
Okay.
You see different things apply at different times. Like, again, Tozer's not the word of God, and we'll stress that today, but he's very adamant on worship, on prayer, and I'd say he's got some very, very insightful stuff regarding worship, prayer. Yeah, you read Discipleship. How was that?
Discipleship I read twice. One for leisure, and one – I'm trying to sound educated. And one for my school. So which it's fitting. I was in a discipleship class, and they made us read Discipleship by Tozer. And also we read The Cost of Discipleship by Bonhoeffer, which we kind of referred to last time. So pick up those books. You know, I think that's very interesting, though. You said, like, it's not the Word of God, but I think you can learn so much from these people.
You can, absolutely.
Read books. Read what other people think. Read people who you disagree with, too. I would go as far as long as say that, so you can be further grounded in what you actually believe.
In what you actually believe, and let you know that, like, your faith is your own and not someone else's.
Right. So.
And with your ideas, and you're going off, like, scripture and not, hey, H.W. Tozer is who I refer to, like that.
Right. So, today we're going to talk about discipleship. Very passionate about discipleship. Obviously, the book that I read from Tozer was Discipleship. it is essential. And I think the number one thing when I think of discipleship is a lot of people want to see this like mentorship type deal, which it is in a sense, but that's not everything that
There's
it has
to
offer. The first thing that I want to make clear is that discipleship is not rooted in the New Testament. Discipleship is referred in the New Testament. It's never written in the Old Testament, but I think discipleship, actually, its foundations are in the Old Testament. So some examples that I've kind of thought of, I kind of jotted them down, were like Moses and Joshua. You cannot sit here and tell me that that wasn't discipleship that was going on in the Old Testament. They might not have referred to it as discipleship, but that's exactly what that was. It was Moses taking Joshua under his wing, and Moses taking him along and readying him for when it was his time to serve. And he was ready to answer that call because he had been discipled well. And how cool would it be if Moses was who discipled you? Who discipled you? Moses?
Moses.
Yeah. Anybody who's discipled by me would go, yeah, I could have had Moses, but I got Garrett instead.
You got Garrett.
Another one that I thought about was Eli and Samuel. Eli was the prophet at the time of Samuel's birth. And then Samuel, we all know the story. Samuel's mother dedicates Samuel to the Lord and dedicates him to the temple. And then Eli raises Samuel up. And Samuel is probably maybe the most famous prophet in the Old Testament, would you say?
Yeah, I could say that.
I mean, he definitely has an argument.
He definitely has a place.
Samuel, yes, Samuel has his place. But Eli raised him up and discipled him well so that he could obviously do great things in the Lord. But also, again, we know that this is found in the New Testament with the obvious Jesus and the 12. But I think that it goes deeper than that, too. I think it goes into Jesus and the three, John, James, right, and Peter. And Jesus really pouring into this inner circle of people. And like Peter was like, you're the rock that I'm going to build the church. And when he did that, he really focused on them, and he knew, I need these three to do it well. Because some, right, of the 12 might fall away, and they didn't fall away. But there was this such intentionality with the three. Obviously, discipleship is modeled and rooted in the Bible.
Absolutely. And again, as you said, we're going into the New Testament now, and we get to Matthew with the Great Commission.
Right.
And it's commanded in the Great Commission to make disciples. So I'm a part of this this group in Hattiesburg on campus, and it's called CRU, which is formerly Campus Crusades for Christ. And the mission of CRU is the Great Commission. So what we do is we break it down and what it is and what is commanded. So first thing, the Great Commission is, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. So when we break it down first, is go. Like, go. It's
right.
Not passive. Like, it's an active thing. Like,
right.
You have to go. You have to do these things.
And then also, I think it shows us the results of discipleship within that too, which is baptizing. And then the process begins again, which is like,
right,
when it
right,
says
right.
make disciples, I think that's more of the evangelistic side of it. But then the teaching, I think, is the real command to discipleship, which is
right.
teaching them to observe my teachings. And
it goes beyond a conversation
right.
Or a new convert to religion. Like, there's more to discipleship than
right.
just going, making disciples, and baptizing. It's like, it's teaching, too. That's at the tail end.
Right. And I think the person who modeled this, maybe, you hate to say the best because Jesus discipled, but maybe fully human the best is obviously Paul. Like when Paul went to these different towns and he was going and starting churches and all of these things, you notice that he didn't just have one-time conversations with people.
Right. It was constant.
It was this constant connection with these churches, writing them, longing to go see them because he cared about them. And I think that's where discipleship should be rooted for us. Obviously in the Bible, but you've got to genuinely care for people.
Right, and I remember when we went through, was it Acts? Yeah, I think it was Acts.
Yeah.
Where every time they went somewhere, he was constantly greeted by these people. And to me, that just shows, like, Paul was intentional.
Right.
There's intentionality. It's not a one-time conversation. It's like a constant growing, living life, maturing with other people and your faith.
Right, and I think the characteristics, obviously, of discipleship are life on life and one-on-one.
It's a commitment.
They're synonymous. You're living life with people. You, like, if you're discipling somebody, it's not weird for them to see you. You know, like, you're living life. You're eating meals together. You're the epitome of Acts 2, right?
Right.
Which is worship, prayer, fasting, Lord's Supper, giving to the poor. You're doing all of those things together and well. But there's also one-on-one. So you're not just living life, but you're also having purposeful conversations. You have a genuine interest in their life. You care what's going
right.
on because you care about their soul and you care about their well-being. And here's the thing that I thought was very interesting. Is salvation and discipleship are not identical, but they're like toes are right. They're like Siamese twins. Like, they're joined at the hip. You know, they're not identical twins, but like, they're closer than identical twins. They're not the same. But he has a quote in his book. This is what it says. In the working creed of the average Christian, salvation is held to be immediate and automatic, while discipleship is thought to be something optional that the Christian may delay indefinitely or never accept at all. A.W. Tozer wrote that. So what he's trying to call out is he's trying to call out these people that say, like, hey, salvation is this automatic thing, which we agree. It's this it's immediate, it's automatic, it happens quickly, but discipleship is something that's like, hey, it's this optional thing. Like, you got time to be discipled, then be discipled. But that's not the case at all. Tozer makes the argument within his book of saying, hey, this is a command that is like immediate as well. It's just as immediate. Once you are saved, once you have been baptized, submerged, wherever you want to stay, the salvation starts. Then right after that, immediately, discipleship begins. Discipleship, I think also, and it comes with a cost.
Right.
And this is the thing that we have to kind of beware, and this is Bonhoeffer, the cost of discipleship. We got to realize that sometimes people don't want to be discipled.
Yeah.
Sometimes you fail, and that's okay. Sometimes it costs you time, money. So maybe sometimes it costs you some resources. It might cost you a cup of coffee. It might cost you maybe some relationships. Maybe you have people in your life that they don't want you hanging out with this person or living life with this person, and it might cost you some relationships. But in the end, it's a clear command from our Lord, and it helps people grow and to know Christ. Our whole purpose as believers is to know Christ and make Him known. And part of knowing Christ and making Him known, an essential part of that is discipleship.
Yeah. So what would you say is a course of action for a church that lacks true biblical discipleship?
I think this is unpopular, maybe. The first thing that I would do is probably start with multi-generational Sunday school.
And what are the benefits of that?
I think the benefits of multi-generational Sunday school is, especially within Baptist circles, or if you're not doing Sunday school, if you want to keep that maybe within small groups or whatever, you want to keep that within the same age range, I think you have to have something that's multi-generational. And the benefits of that is you've got older people pouring into younger people. And obviously there's some wisdom there that younger people lack, maybe. But also I don't want to discredit young folks that love the Lord, right, such as ourselves, because I would put up that some of them are more mature and are more knowledgeable and have a deeper love for Christ than maybe somebody that's older. But if you can walk with an older believer that's been a believer for a long time, I think discipleship is something that's going to happen naturally and not this forced, rigid form of discipleship, which is Sunday school teacher. And yeah, right. Or yeah, this program. I've seen youth groups that have like assigned like older and younger mentors. And I just think that lacks something that's fluid and something that's natural, I think, as it was intended to be, which is you both loving the Lord, you seeing somebody that needs maybe some help, maybe some guidance, and you taking the time to live life with them. So I think multi-generational Sunday school is a very good place to at least start asking the question. Different churches have different situations, and I understand that. But I think you have to. I think we should offer something that is multi-generational. And it's not Sundays. I'm not saying Sunday school is the only thing that has to be multi-generational. I think, again, you could have family groups, you could have life groups, you could have discipleship groups. You could have even this. I know I just dogged on mentorship programs maybe a little bit, but I mean, if that's what you have, then like you got to do something. But also, I think a very important thing that lacks is we have maybe people in ministry that don't know how to disciple themselves, and we need church leaders, staff, to disciple other people well. Because when you disciple well, then it's just this. It's this multiplying effect,
right,
and it's this chain reaction. If I disciple you, then you're going to disciple, and then they're going to disciple, and then they're going to disciple, and they're going to disciple. So It starts with staff and elders. You've got to be discipling yourself. Here's the thing about Jesus. Jesus never asked somebody to do something that he didn't first do himself. And we've got staff leaders and leaders within churches that are asking their congregants to do something that they have not first done themselves. And so I think that's where it starts, is you have to offer it. If you're not going to do it yourself, you have to give opportunities for that. But also, I think the main course of action is we got to start doing it ourselves.
Right. I think Paul says in like Ephesians, it's like God has equipped the church with abilities to do his work and build up the church, which is the body of Christ. And he goes on to talk about like unity and faith and knowledge of God's Son. So I think what you're saying, like discipleship is that process of, you know, maturing in your faith and becoming more like Christ. Like that's what discipleship is.
What advice would you give to somebody that leads worship and somebody that is in love with worship to disciple other worship leaders?
I think it's important, especially like with encouragement and actually understanding what the meaning of worship is. Like God created us to worship. And I think it stressed the importance of like God created us to use our skills and use our abilities to lead others to the throne room and experience his presence, his grace and his mercy, and to disciple other worship leaders. It'll be difficult. It's difficult. Right. But really just a lot of encouragement and truly understand the weight behind what you're leading people to do corporately.
That's a good word. I think, and I'm not here to dog on people. I see what I see, so I'm going to talk about what I see. And right. And some of that's within myself, but I think that we have a lack of people that lead worship and that do worship that disciple.
Right.
Because, I mean, let's just be honest, like, you've been kind of thrown to the wolves, and you were like, you didn't have this mentor or discipler to help guide you along. You just kind of figured it out on your own, and I'm in the same
right.
boat. We just kind of had to figure it out, and we, again, that goes back to, we need staff members of churches, of local churches, to point out people that are maybe called to the ministry or are interested in a call to ministry, and not just them, but to
like just church leadership in general.
Right. To say, this is what it looks like, this is where I failed, and this is what God's word says.
Right.
And I think,
and like, it's okay to hold each other accountable. I know that that's a scary word for,
right. yeah.
for a lot of the way, like accountability is scary. It shouldn't be scary. Like that's what community within the Christian life is.
Right.
It's holding each other accountable. And that can be a process of discipleship as well. Like you having somebody that holds each other accountable. Like I try to hold Garrett accountable and I expect
right.
that he holds me accountable. Therefore, there's discipleship in that.
There is. But I think that we can't confuse of – you're not going to hold somebody accountable that you're not living life with. And we have to start
right, exactly.
living life with people and doing one-on-one conversations and one-on-one outreach. I think if your doors are never open and your dining room tables are always empty, then that's the place to start. Eat meals together. Invite people
right.
into your homes, because that's where true ministry I say true ministry. That's where great ministries often start, is within the homes. There are so many avenues to go through with discipleship, and I hope this is a helpful broad stroke of
very, very broad.
Very broad of what biblical discipleship is mandated, but also is obtainable, and it's modeled for us. I'm excited about our coming up episodes and our topics that we have. We want more people to join us. Maybe Connor and I can. Maybe I have to go down to the Berg, or he'll have to come up to the 39170 area code to.
I can't. You know that zip code already? Wow.
Connor, I am wise beyond my years. That's a
I
joke.
I'm here in Hattiesburg, and I barely know what zip code I'm
in. That's a joke, people. But still, we found purpose and we're excited. Do you want to make an announcement today, or should we wait?
You know what? I'd say let's do it.
Let's do it. You think?
Let's do it. Yeah. I mean, I don't see why not.
You don't see why not? All right. Let's do it. Let's do it. So Connor and I have been we've been working on something that's very exciting, and we've kind of hinted at it. And this is the official drop. Connor has built a website, and that website is called allthesaints.com, or what is it?
Well, not yet.
Not yet.
But it will be called.
It will be. We'll put a link.
Once it drops. Once it officially drops on Google, we'll drop a link and we'll
post it on our social media. But if you listen to the podcast, you're going to get to hear about it first. And it's All the Saints. We wanted to build a hub for local pastors, local church members within our state and our region. To be able to give encouragement, if they're struggling with things, they might can write about it. You're going to find podcasts there. These books that we talk about on the podcast, you're going to be able to see our recommendations for them, which you might want to talk to some other people too. But you're going to be able to find resources for books. You're going to be able to see some blogs, maybe from your local pastors or from local pastors within the area that might be going through the same things that you are. You're going to be able to see podcasts. We partnered up with the 513 podcast, the group of guys in Starkville, and we have some potential other partners that's going to join us on the site. If you don't know where to find them, you can Tyler is on the 513 podcast. He was on last time, but you'll be able to find them there. You'll be able to find blogs. You'll be able to find all sorts of, I hope, helpful information and resources for you to go ahead.
Our focus, our goal with our mission with this All the Saints website is that there's a place for community of believers, for local church members to, you know, hear from other pastors, to be encouraged by people in their community, wherever that may be, with blog posts, with, you know, getting connection, more, what's the word, flow of different ministry opportunities that are going on within our region. To me, it'd be very encouraging to know that, hey, we're partnered with certain people or just different people in our area.
And some organizations and churches. We're partnered with a whole bunch. We hope to get more partners, but we've got some commitments now to write, to podcast, to do those different types of things. And so we hope that it's encouraging. We want to empower and equip you to be able to be the fullest that God has wants for your life. I pray and we hope that it's an encouragement, and that it empowers you to live the fullest for the Lord. So All the Saints, check it out. We'll post a link when it's officially ready. We're like 95% there.
I agree with that.
We're very close, but we're very excited about it. I'm out of my shoes for it, son. Like, I'm just fired up. But you also be able to find Around the Coffee Table content. And
yes.
So if you have not liked, you have not subscribed, you have not done all of those different types of things, do it.
Ratings.
Go to the Apple Podcast, Spotify, wherever you get podcasts and listen to us. Subscribe. Rate us, hopefully 5 stars, but if you don't like it, then don't leave a rating. They'll know. But and like us and follow us. Share our stuff. When we post something, share it so that we can get the word out more. We hope that this is encouraging to you. So, Connor, you have anything else, man?
I don't have anything else.
Well, man, it's always a pleasure.
Bless be the tie.
Bless be the tie that binds.
If you like what you heard, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at ATCT_podcast for